back towards second base, and still a 1-0 count to Pease. Jaron Cotton is on deck, and Poole hoping that a double play could get you out of this inning, and either that or just keep the runners where they're at. Don't want that runner over on third base. 1-0 the count. Poole brings the leg up, fires home, and this one is going to hit Sam Pease. Back-to-back hit by pitches have the bases loaded now in the top of the eighth inning. And the location from Ashton Poole a little bit off early, and the infield going to have a quick chat with Poole. Third baseman Kareem Arusevic going over to talk with him. And over on first base, Sam Pease on second, Jaron Sanderson on third, T.P. Wentworth. Still only one out, two-run lead for the Dock Spiders. It's been a great pitching performance all afternoon from the rafters, and you don't want that to end now. He pitched back on July 4th as well for the rafters here at Witterfield. First pitch on the way to Cotton, misses inside, and that one almost hit Cotton. And Poole, five pitches in the game after this one, and the first four have all missed for balls. 1-0 the count. Now it really feels like you need a ground ball double play, and that one again misses high. 2-0 the count. Cotton 0-for-2 in the game. He popped out to second his last time up back in the sixth inning. Grounded out 6-3 in the fourth, and he walked in the second. 2-0 the count. He's got the bases loaded and one away. Pitch on the way home. That one is in there, called for strike number one, and finally able to find that location that he needs. And situationally, looking at it with the bases loaded for Jaron Cotton this year, he's batting .500, but he's only had four at-bats. 2-1 count is hit up the middle, and that one will sneak on through into center field. He raises that batting average with an RBI single, and that makes it 4-1 Dock Spiders here in the eighth. Three straight batters have reached, and it was hit by pitch in single off of Ashton Poole as Jaron Cotton gets the RBI. It's his first RBI of the game, second time on base. And with that, it brings the lead back up to three runs for the Dock Spiders. And Ashton Poole had been riding a bit of a hot streak as of late. He'd been getting back into his flow of things. But this, not the start that he's looking for. Tommy Guggen's up at the plate. First pitch to him, breaking ball in there for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Guggen's 1-for-3 on the game. He grounded out 5-3 his last time up back in the seventh inning. Comes up with the bases loaded himself. And only one out here in the top of the eighth. 4-1 Dock Spiders. And the pitch there on the outside called for strike number two. 0-2 the count. Guggen's has had 8 at-bats with the bases loaded this season. And in those, he has a hit in 5 of them. Tony Torres up on deck for the rafters. He's warming up in the bullpen. 0-2 count on the way is fouled back by Guggen's. So remains 0-2, and Ashton Poole finally ahead in the count. This is the first time he's had a lead in the count. Working three straight strikes on Tommy Guggen's. Base is still loaded. The corner infielders are pushed in. Middle infielders back in case they need to cover. 0-2 count. Swung on and fouled back as it remains 0-2. Four pitches, all of them strikes to Tommy Guggen's. But Poole just not able to get rid of him just yet. And with the run that came across on Tyler Pacetti, it was a earned run. It's the second earned run allowed by the rafters this game. All the remaining runners are on the line of Ashton Poole. 0-2 the count, swung on and sent to the left side of the infield. Not picked up by Carlson. He has to eat it. Throw over to third, not in time. And it's going to be another run for the Dock Spiders. Tommy Guggen's is safe at first base as Hayden Carlson was unable to make the play at shortstop. Everyone moves ahead one base. It's now 5-1. Dock Spiders in the top of the eighth. Officially goes in as an infield single. It's an RBI for Googans. And that's the first run allowed by Ashton Poole of the game. First pitch is called for strike number one to Jalen Gellings. Gellings, 0-3 on the game. Right-handed hitting third baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup. Bases still loaded with only one out in the top of the eighth inning. And the pitch coming home misses outside for ball number one. And Junior Barajas had to lean over to pick it up as it missed outside. Nearly got away, but a good play by Barajas. 1-1 the count to Gellings. Ooh, set on the mound. He'll bring the breaking ball home, and it's in there, called for strike number two. 1-2 the count. Gellings back in the seventh inning. He grounded out 5-3. Had a soft grounder 2-3 back in the fifth inning. And he grounded into a 1-6-3 double play back in the second. It's the only double play that the Rafters have managed this game. Another one would be huge here. 1-2 count will be sent into right field. Liner, it's caught out of the air. And the runner is off of first base, but nobody was covering. And it will come home to score a run. A sacrifice fly from Jalen Gellings makes this a 6-1 ball game in the top of the eighth. First RBI of the game for Jalen Gellings. Tommy Googan stays on first. Jaron Cotton on second. And Sam Pease came home to score. Three straight RBIs for the Dock Spiders as they had five consecutive batters reach successfully. A single, hit by pitch, single, and another single. Then you get the sacrifice fly, and now it's up to Devin Nunez with two away and runners on first and second. First pitch to him, misses inside for ball number one. It's 6-1 Fond du Lac in the top of the eighth. And the Rafters, seeing this game get away from them late, trying to stop the bleeding. Ashton Poole trying to work through it, looks back towards second base. Now brings the pitch home and fouls it back. 1-1 the count. And Ashton Poole has had his fair share of appearances for the Rafters, and he's had some up and downs. He's had some pretty good appearances, but recently has struggled a little bit. So now the pitch on the way home on the 1-1 count, and that one misses for ball number two. 2-1 the count. With the runner on first base, Tommy Googans on second, Jaron Cotton, both of them quick runners. It could attempt a double steal, but why do so when you've got a five-run lead? 2-1 count. It's high for ball number three. 3-1. Also, no double play in order. There's already two outs in the inning. And Devin Nunez, he's 2-4 in the game. Single in the seventh, single in the first. He's got a 3-1 count now, and Ashton Poole trying to get rid of him. Nunez, the left-handed hitter. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Pitch on the way home is in there, called for strike number two on the outside edge. Good spot from Poole as Nunez had kind of turned his back there at the end. Thought it was ball four, but it broke in. So full count to the left-handed hitting DH from the University of Nebraska. Looking for his third hit of the game, and if it's to the outfield, could be an RBI. 3-2 count, both runners going, and it's fouled back. Remains 3-2. Of course, with two outs and a 3-2 count, as soon as the pitch is thrown, you're good to go. That'll certainly help drive in a run if Nunez is able to pick up a hit here, but Poole hoping to limit the damage. Three runs have already come across in the top of the eighth. Prior to that, the Dock Spiders had just three runs. 3-2 count, swing and a miss, strike number three, and Poole is able to work out of this eighth inning, but not before three runs came across on three hits. There were no errors, and there were two left on base. We head to the bottom of the eighth. It's 6-1 Fond du Lac here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Yeah.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
So a couple of final lines for you, as I realize I haven't given them yet. Stormy Rhodes for the Dock Spiders. He went six innings, allowing one run. It was earned on nine hits, two walks, two strikeouts. There was one hit batter and one wild pitch. And actually, that run shouldn't be earned on Stormy Rhodes, as the double play could have ended the inning, but instead there are officially, it does go in as an earned run. That's too much thinking for me. I'll let our official score deal with that, as Carson McIntyre at the plate takes the first pitch high for ball number one. McIntyre, right-handed hitting right fielder, he is a perfect 3-for-3 on the game. He has reached on all three singles. Had a pretty big debut with the Rafters, going 2-for-3 with two walks. Trying to reach four times in this one, as the 1-0 count is taken away for ball number two. Now 2-0 the count. Zach White still on the mound for the Dock Spiders. He threw just eight pitches in the bottom of the seventh. White looks over to third base. Now takes his time and fires it home. Fastball misses a little bit high for ball number three. A 3-0 count. And hey, McIntyre will be fine taking a walk in this situation. Make sure that you get on base. You need a man on in order to come back. Rafters down 6-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Pitch on the way to McIntyre. It is high for ball number four. And Carson McIntyre on for the fourth time this game. Three singles and a walk, and he remains perfect as it brings up Hayden Carlson to the plate, with a runner on first and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. 6-1, the Dock Spiders lead. And Carlson, the right-handed hitting shortstop, trying to keep on rolling along as, well, last game for the Rafters, it was a pinch hit appearance for him late in the game, and that snapped his streak of consecutive games with multiple times on base. 0-1 the count to Carlson now, as that one was called for a strike. Runner on first is McIntyre. He is quick, but not taking off here, as there's a swing and a miss for strike number two. 0-2 the count to Carlson. And Carlson has reached base in this game, but once on a hit by pitch and another time on an E6. 0-2 count to Carlson. Righty-righty matchup with White on the mound, and gets a swing and a miss for strike number three, and brings up Lachlan Maude to the plate with the runner on first and one away in the bottom of the eighth. 6-1, the Dock Spiders still lead, and Maude, the right-handed hitting first baseman, up for the fourth time this game. He is 0-for-3 on the afternoon. Grounded into a double play back in the sixth inning. A fielder's choice in the fourth, and lined out to third in the second. Runner still on first base is McIntyre, and the first pitch is on the upper part of the zone, called for strike number one. 0-1 the count to Maud, who will be followed by Hiroto Kobayashi if it gets to him. Bottom of the eighth here, and the Rafters feel like they need to get at least one run here, preferably two, to kind of keep you in this one. Down five, and a pickoff move over to first base. Make sure that McIntyre doesn't get off. Zach White still looking to deal as he'll look home. Take a while. Now fire 0-1. Gets a swing and a miss on a breaking ball to make it 0-2. And Maud, I mean, he's had his up and downs for the Rafters. Last game for Wisconsin Rapids that he played in, he didn't play last night, but didn't have too bad of a game, and so they tried to work him into first base. Makes that pitch for a ball. It's now 1-2. Zach White looking to deal. He'll look back. Now bring the pitch forward, and it misses way outside for ball number two. And Lachlan Maud was taking that one all the way, and not a close-by pitch there from Zach White. And White right now, it just seems like he's trying to get out of this inning. He threw only eight pitches in that seventh, but he's been worked a lot harder by the Rafters here in the eighth. As a 2-2 count to Maud, runner taking off from first. It's a swing and a miss. No throw down, though. It's a strikeout, but a stolen base for Carson McIntyre. As it brings up Hiroto Kobayashi with a runner in scoring position and two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters still down five, but McIntyre, a chance to score if Kobayashi can pick up a hit here. First pitch to Kobayashi, misses outside. It's a 1-0 count. And the man from Lewis Clark State College at the plate, right-handed hitting DH. It's a righty-righty matchup with Zach White. White looks back to second where McIntyre stands. Now brings the pitch home and has this pitch fouled back. And a 1-1 count now is... That one nearly came back and hit me. That almost took out my laptop, yeah. Could have said goodbye to that piece of equipment. Luckily, though, everything up here is all fine. 1-1 count on the way home. Gets a swing and a miss. Now 1-2. I was standing right in the line of fire there. I was going to try and catch it. It was going to go through my hands. 1-2 the count to Kobayashi. Runner still on second. Kobayashi, 1-for-3 on the game. He singled his last time up. Can he repeat? Sends one to the right side, and he does. Gets it into right field. McIntyre will stay up at third, however. And so the second hit of the day for Kobayashi as he's over to first base. Carson McIntyre over to third. And the Rafters bring up Royce Clayton Jr., who's already got a multi-hit game going for him. Clayton, 2-for-3 on the afternoon. And another hit here would be huge. The Rafters runners on the corners. Kobayashi is on first. McIntyre is on third. And Royce Clayton Jr. up with two away in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters down 6-1. The first pitch outside for ball one. 1-0 the count. Clayton, his last time up, singled in the sixth inning. He grounded out 5-3 in the fifth. And he singled in the second inning. 1-0 the count on the way home to Clayton. Kobayashi stays on first, and that pitch taken on the lower outside corner for strike number one. 1-1 the count. And Royce Clayton Jr. trying to keep up his hot game. 2-2 the count on the way home. Swing and a miss, and he was ahead of that one. That was a nasty change of pace pitch from Zach White. Got Clayton swinging way ahead of it. Now he's got to stay in his shoes for this one. 1-2 the count. Zach White might go back to that last pitch. worked pretty well. Runner taking off from first, swing and a miss, strike number three, and that is a strikeout of the side for Zach White. He gets three Ks in the eighth inning and allows no runs on one hit. There were no errors and two left on base. We head to the ninth inning. It's 6-1 Fond du Lac here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning here from Wisconsin Rapids, and the Rafters trailing 6-1 as Ashton Poole is back out to work for the Rafters.
When it comes to making
on the mound for Wisconsin Rapids, the right-handed pitcher trying to keep things rolling along, and, well, the last inning for him didn't quite go his way. The righty on the mound for the Rafters taking on the right-handed hitting Parker Noll to lead things off, and the first pitch to him is called for strike number one. Noll is 0-3 on the game, grounded out 1-3 his last time up back in the seventh inning. 0-1 the count as the leg kick comes from Poole. That one's in there for strike number two. Well, despite Poole's struggling start to the game, he had allowed four straight batters to reach from Fond du Lac. He's retired the last two in a row. 0-2 count on the way home is hit out towards right field liner, but it will be caught by Rafters right fielder Carson McIntyre for out number one. One up, one down in the top of the ninth inning, and it brings up James Hankerson Jr. with the bases empty and one away. Dock Spiders up five on the scoreboard, and Hankerson, the left-handed hitting first baseman, makes it a lefty-righty matchup with Poole on the mound. Pitch on the way home, it is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Back in the eighth inning, Hankerson led things off with a quality plate appearance. Saw seven pitches, but he struck out looking on the last one. 0-1 count in there, called for strike number two. Was the last out recorded by Tyler Pacetti. Tyler Pacetti, great performance from him. 0-2 count, just a bit low for ball number one. Now 1-2 the count. And Hankerson, 0-3 on the game. He struck out looking back in the eighth inning. 1-2 count, gets a swing and a miss. He strikes out for the second time this game. Ashton Poole gets his second K, and it brings up T.P. Wentworth with two outs and the bases empty in the top of the ninth, 6-1 Fond du Lac. T.P. Wentworth, the left-handed hitting power hitter, a right fielder for the Dock Spiders today. He is 2-4 in the game. He singled his last two and is going to single again as he sends one up the middle on the first pitch he saw into center field. And that ends the streak of four consecutive batters retired by Ashton Poole. Brings up Jaron Sanderson with two outs and a runner on first. Still 6-1, Dock Spiders. Jaron Sanderson, the right-handed hitting left fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup. Sanderson 1-for-2 on the game, but he's reached three times. Runner ahead of him, and the first pitch from Poole is well outside for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and over on first base, Wentworth kind of looking like he's about to try and take off. Wentworth did steal second base back in the first inning after he reached on a fielder's choice. 1-0 the count here, but two outs, and that pitch misses away. 2-0 the count, and of course a doubleheader today. The Rafters will have game number two starting at 6:35 p.m., and so the Rafters not wanting to use as many pitchers as possible today. Ashton Poole just the third of the game for Wisconsin Rapids. Pickoff move back to first base, but sliding head first back into the bag. Wentworth is safe. And still a 2-0 count to Sanderson. His last time up, Sanderson was hit by a pitch in the eighth inning, drew a walk in the sixth, and he singled in the first. Sorry, in the fourth. He flew out in the first inning. Fly ball out towards right field, but there is McIntyre, and he will make the catch. That's out number three as the Rafters keep the Dock Spiders from scoring. Ashton Poole, not a bad second inning for him. No runs on one hit, no errors, and one left on base. We head to the bottom of the ninth. The Rafters needing five runs when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back into Rafters baseball here on WFHR. It's the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down five, and they've got three outs to work it back. Well, this season has not been too kind to them when it comes to making comebacks. And on the season, when they trail after eight innings, the Rafters sit at just 0-20. As here's a ball out to left field, and that one is gone! Oh, man! Jake Beauchesne just absolutely smoked that one to left field. Solo shot from Jake Beauchesne to lead off the ninth inning as Zach White looks for the three-inning save, but that's not the way to get things started. Jake Beauchesne coming up huge with the home run. The Rafters now down 6-2 in the game. Well, I was looking for the statistic. The Rafters 0-21 when trailing after seven, and well, Jake Beauchesne getting a little bit of a comeback started. Up to Kareem Arusovic now. First pitch that he sees misses inside for ball number one. And Arusovic, he is yet to find an extra base hit on the season for the Rafters. Trying to play as much as he can coming back from an injury as Well, I talked to him yesterday about that as this pitch misses low for ball number two, a 2-0 count. And one of the things he was telling Ziggy is, hey, I want to be in these lineups as much as possible to continue working back and get back into shape. He's got a 2-0 count here, lefty-righty matchup, and the pitch misses inside as it moves to 3-0. And Zach White, trying to be only the second pitcher used in this game, he entered this inning with just 28 pitches thrown. The fifth pitch of the inning comes up next with Kareem Arusovic at the plate, and it's in there, called for a strike at the knees to bring it 3-1. Arusovic 0-for-3 in the game. He walked back in the first inning, but he has a 3-1 count. His on-base streak at the very least alive, but trying to pick up a hit here. 3-1 count is sent a fly ball down the left field line and out of play. Remains 3-2, and man, Jake Beauchesne absolutely smoked that one to left field. Bounced off the netting up there over the left field wall to make sure it didn't hit the playground out there. 3-2 the count on the way to Arusovic, and he gets under this one and sends it high in the air towards center field. Underneath it is Knoll, and he will bring it in for out number one. Now up at the plate, Junior Barajas with one out and the bases empty in the bottom of the ninth. Zach White two outs away from the save. And in line for the win, it's Stormy Rhodes. And man, Tristan Krusenberry is on the line for the loss right now, despite his quality start. First pitch on the way is fouled back by Junior Barajas, 0-1 the count. And Jeremy Jones, he went six complete innings just a couple days ago for the Rafters. It was their season-long performance, and something fell off of Zach White. Looks like he had a necklace on that broke out there, and so he's taking time to take it off. Now puts it back on, and seems like he's all good to go now. 0-1 the count. And with one away, Junior Barajas. Hey, another home run in this inning would be fun. Barajas has already hit three of them this season. He's 1-for-4 on the game. 0-1 count, taken high and away for ball one. 1-1 the count. Maybe should have left that necklace off. Missing that pitch, and we'll see. Junior Barajas, lefty at the plate. It's a lefty-righty matchup. 1-1 count. This one is sent high in the air out towards right field. Turning at the warning track, back a couple of steps. It is up and out of here. Junior Barajas. Another home run for the Rafters. And yet again, he goes deep to right field. Second home run of the inning for Wisconsin Rapids. It's now a three-run game in the bottom of the ninth. His fourth home run of the season. He's got 12 RBIs as well, and he will don that home run belt. Well, hey, that's a way to take requests. Does everyone take requests? Akko, do you want to hit a home run? Maybe. Maybe I just got to say it. Right-handed hitting Akko sends one out towards right field. Fly ball on the run, but he's going to get there, and it is caught by T.P. Wentworth for out number two. Well, the Rafters down to their last out. Despite a couple of home runs here in the ninth inning, trying not to fall short of the comeback, they have to get three runners across still to keep this game going. It's 6-3 Fond du Lac in the bottom of the ninth. Zach White still ready to go and trying to finish this one off. He needs just one more out to complete the save. Carson McIntyre at the plate, though. He is perfect. 3-for-3 with a walk. Trying to keep that intact. The first pitch to him is taken low for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And McIntyre, right-handed hitting right fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup with White on the mound. In this game against Zach White, McIntyre has drawn just the one walk his last time up. 1-0 count is taken for strike number two. Now 1-1. Prior to that, he was 3-for-3 against Stormy Rhodes, all on singles. 1-1 the count. Bases empty. Just got to get base runners at this point. 1-1 the count. Swing and a miss for strike number 2. Rafters down to their last strike here at home, trying to snap their losing streak. And now it's up to Carson McIntyre. 1-2 the count. White looking for the 3-inning save. He looks off to third. Now brings the pitch home, but it's outside for ball 2. 2-2 the count. On deck is Hayden Carlson if it gets there, but McIntyre's got to get on to base first. 2-2 the count with 2 away. Pitch coming home. It's a swing and a miss for strike number 3, and that ends the game. The Rafters in that 9th inning, 2 runs on 2 hits. There were no errors and nobody left on base as the Rafters drop this one. The final score, 6-3. Can't quite do it here at home, and a disappointing finish to the game despite the strong attempt at the comeback. Couple of home runs there and just fell shy of the comeback. 5 players had multi-hit games, and for the Rafters, it just wasn't enough. They out-hit the Dock Spiders 12-9, but they lost 6-3 on the scoreboard. The errors really the problem in this one. And well, with that, we're going to go ahead and hit a quick break.
You can't escape
Rafters
the traffic
drop
jam.
It here on WFHR,
no one else you can't
and we'll come
escape?
Back after this.
Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Well, the game didn't go the Rafters' way today. Final score was 6-3. The Dock Spiders won it, but let's look back at how it happened. In this one, The Rafters started off on the back foot. It was a one-run first inning from the Dock Spiders. They came across to score as it was a stolen base of home from Devin Nunez on a throw down towards second, and then they tried to catch him in between third and home, but he was able to work out of the pickle by a defensive interference. Kind of got tackled by third baseman Kareem Arusovic. And so that sent him home to make it 1-0. Second inning comes around, and once again, the Dock Spiders score one run. RBI single from Tommy Guggins after Jaron Cotton had reached third on an error on a pickoff move. So that made it a 2-0 game. Tristan Krusenberry, he kept rolling on through, though. He kept his pitch count low. He went through six innings for the Rafters, but in the fifth inning, once again, it would be Fond du Lac who scored. They scored the one run in the top of the fifth inning on an RBI grounder from Devin Nunez. That made it 3-0. Then sixth inning, Krusenberry still out there. He's able to work through it and finished off the quality start. He went six innings pitched, allowed just one earned run, three runs in total, and he allowed just four hits, three walks, only struck out one batter, but he did so on 84 pitches and able to get the Rafters' first quality start of the season before handing it off to the bullpen. Bottom of the sixth came around, and the Rafters finally get the offense going. It was a run home from Carson McIntyre on Lachlan Maud's double play ball that made it 3-1. The Rafters continued. They had back-to-back singles from Hiroto Kobayashi and Royce Clayton Jr., but they left him stranded there. So it was a 3-1 game through the sixth. Seventh inning comes around, and Tyler Pacetti out there for the Rafters. He has a shutdown frame. And, well, the Rafters couldn't get anything going. Three up, three down in the seventh. Top of the eighth comes around. Tyler Pacetti, a strikeout to start the inning, but then allows a single, and he comes out of the game. Taking over Ashton Poole, it was not his night. Back-to-back hit batters, and then back-to-back singles for the Dock Spiders, followed up by a sacrifice fly, made it a three-run frame and a 6-1 Fond du Lac lead. Bottom of the eighth, and the Rafters, once again, they threaten with runners on the corners, but three strikeouts in the inning from Zach White as he was able to go strong through the game. Worth mentioning, Zach White came into the game in the seventh, and that was after Stormy Rhodes went six quality innings. He had a quality start as well. Both pitchers a quality start. You don't see that all too often. It's actually the first time it's happened this season. Of course, first time that the Rafters have had a quality start on their side. So that put a pitcher's duel in the books. But then the bullpen taking over. Zach White had a three-inning save as he came in the seventh inning. Three, one, two, three. Eighth inning, he had three strikeouts. And then in the top of the ninth, Ashton Poole finally got back on his game, and he retired three of the four batters that he saw to keep it a 6-1 game. Bottom of the ninth comes around, and the Rafters still taking on Zach White. Leadoff home run from Jake Beauchesne. One out home run from Junior Barajas. That made it 6-3, but the Rafters had a fly out from Mananaco and a strikeout of Carson McIntyre to end it and finish off the game with Zach White on the mound. So final score 6-3. Let's take a look back at the stats on the game. And, well, Jake Beauchesne 2-for-5 with a home run and RBI. Kareem Arusovic 0-for-4. Junior Barajas 2-for-5 on the game. He had a home run as well. Keeps up his extra base hit tandem as he got his eighth extra base hit in his ninth game of the season. He's got four home runs on the season and four doubles as well. Man, he has been good for the Rafters. Carson McIntyre went 3-for-4 with a walk. He reached base four times. Mananaco reached twice. He had a hit and a walk. Along with that, Hiroto Kobayashi 2-for-4 as the DH. Royce Clayton Jr. 2-for-4 as the nine-hole batter. That's a look at the offense. And on the pitching side, I already mentioned it, quality start for Tristan Krusenberry. Tyler Pacetti went an inning and a third, allowed just the one run on two hits and no walks. He was really good out there, and that one run, man, it really doesn't feel like that one should go to him. It was a tough start to the game for Ashton Poole, but after that, Poole was able to lock it in. He retired five of the last six batters that he faced and was able to get through that ninth inning and use only three pitchers for the Rafters. So coming up next, the Rafters will take on the Dock Spiders once again later tonight. They've got first pitch scheduled for 6:35, so we got about 4 hours until game time, which means that in between now and then, of course, we'll go back to regularly programmed scheduling here on WFHR, but the pregame show does come up next. The Rafters will take on the Dock Spiders, and that comes around on your radar at 6:20 p.m. Hope to have you there, but that's going to just about do it for our broadcast from game number one today. And a big shout out to everyone who helped make this possible and to our pregame guest of the show from today's game. And, of course, that was the new batter for the Rafters who was making a pretty strong return in the second half. Back in the first half, started off the year strong. Second half, trying to get back to his footing after returning from injury. And Luke Skinner, big shout out to him. And, well, he didn't appear in the game this time, but he is scheduled to be a starter in game number two. So looking forward to a big game from him there. However, that's going to just about do it for our broadcast today. One last time, the Rafters score 3 and the Dock Spiders score 6. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and I hope to talk to you later tonight.
1980. I graduated in 1980, and there was a significant number of students from Nigeria at UW-Superior at that point in time. I mean, there's two different categories of them. Some were there on I think it was called the Riverside Scholarships, and there was others there that came from very wealthy families that were, you know, going to school in the northern Wisconsin, you know, that in the middle of the continent, that coming from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were international students, and I don't know what the rate was back then. I mean, tuition was certainly a heck of a lot cheaper back then because the state actually kicked in more funds toward the university.
Right.
But I mean, that cutting off that resource for universities and that resource for our country, you know, bringing in knowledge and exposing people to America, coming from other countries, and Donald Trump is so thin-skinned that they're just afraid, oh, somebody might be criticizing Donald Trump. Right. I mean, for God's sakes, they're detaining American citizens because, you know, when they're coming back from foreign countries, because they might have criticized the king. Well, that's the kind of crap that the colonists went through back in the day when we declared independence from the king. Yep. You couldn't criticize the king back then, period.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call, Mark. Just up against the clock, but I appreciate the call. Yeah, Mark's absolutely right. And I've told the story before. I won't tell the entire thing again so as not to bore you. But the greatest part about my college experience were my 3 years at a two-year college at UW-Richland with the Central American Scholarship Program that was administered through, guess where, USAID, the State Department, which Trump and Marco Rubio cut, to bring students from very poor families but that were academically excellent that would never otherwise get a university education, to give them two-year full-ride scholarships to come to the United States to learn either computers or business with the requirement to go back home for 2 years in order to lift from within, both economically and to give them the quote-unquote American experience so they can go back and say, you know, this is back in the late 80s, so you can say, yeah, you know what? Democracy and America is better than communism and Russia and the Soviet Union at that time. That program did more to improve world relations and peace than all the money that you stuck into bombs or defense. And guess who was one of the main authors of the Central American Scholarship Program? Republican U.S. Senator Bob Casten of Wisconsin. That Republican Party no longer exists. We'll get to tax on tips. Don't go anywhere. We'll give you the whole story, including the tips. Come on back. It's the Town Hall Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you.
Welcome back to the Tell All Bells Show. On the chill vibe of a Wednesday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. I love that song. I don't know why. It takes me back to my early radio days at WRCO in Richland Center. Ray Schrader, reminiscing with Ray every Saturday afternoon. And he would play that. He played the old tunes like that. And it was just, I don't know
that
why.
That version of it too? Or
maybe. I think there was
a lot of versions of this song.
It's been done a lot. Well, is that from My Fair Lady? What show is that from?
It's a cover by Peggy Lee.
Right.
Do you mean the original? It's from Music Man, I think.
Music Man. All right. Yeah, there you go. But it's just a chill song that I tend to, if you watch The Secret Show, if you tune in on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twix, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, I occasionally just start singing that. And Zomers has to put up with it. and occasionally he'll throw it back at me like that. And I love it every time he does it. All right, welcome back, everybody. That had nothing to do with anything other than amuse me. So, Zomers, have you ever had, I'm not sure I've ever asked you this before, we've been together almost 3 years. Can you imagine
almost
that?
Almost 3 years.
This
wow.
show has been on the air almost 3 years, and that in and of itself these days is quite the accomplishment.
Indeed.
I'm not sure I've ever asked you, have you ever worked in a job where you relied on tips?
I have not. I have worked in jobs where I received tips but never relied on them. Like I worked at a Starbucks and you get some tips, but it's not the bulk of your salary or you know, your wages.
I would say similar. Also my first job at coffee years ago was at a Starbucks where you got tips. I served, but I was kind of in a management role. So if I occasionally wait a table, I just put my tips in with like the bartender tips or whatever. So I haven't myself personally relied on it. But here is, as my old social studies teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying, here is a hitherto unknown fact. Did you know that in Wisconsin, the minimum wage for tipped employees like servers is still $2.33 an hour?
I did.
I know you did.
Although, technically, if they don't make it to real minimum wage with tips, then the employer has to pay up to that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, you're right. So they passed a law not too long ago. Exactly. Zomers is right. So if a server or bartender's tips don't equal at least $7.25 an hour, which is still the ridiculously low non-livable wage, minimum wage in this state and, you know, the country, at least in this state, the employer has to make up for it, but the employer can claim a tip credit for the difference between the tip wage and the minimum wage, which I'm fine with that. I think that's great. But the important part, so people say, well, why should I tip my server? We're at this nice fancy restaurant. I'm paying, you know, $60 for a filet. And you want me to pay 10, 20% more, hopefully at least 15 or 20% more for a tip. Yes, because the person that's waiting on you for that hour or 90 minutes, they are only making technically $2.33 an hour. So I'm going to start this and we're going to finish it on the other side in 3 o'clock hour here. According to WISC TV Channel 3000, the CBS affiliate in Madison says President Donald Trump's campaign promise to eliminate federal taxes on tips has become a reality in his budget bill. So what will it mean for Wisconsin's more than 50,000 tip workers? The provision allows workers to deduct up to $25,000 in tips annually with an income cap of $150,000. Tipped workers will still have to pay state and local income taxes and payroll taxes. According to Susan Quam, executive vice president of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, which represents 7,000 locations across the state of Wisconsin, she says that's going to cover a huge portion of what people are earning. Quam also said the provision will apply to industries that traditionally have used tipping so that other sectors won't have to, quote, jump on the bandwagon, unquote. She says many of our folks are either part-time, either supplemental income to the family, or are students putting themselves through school. This will help them achieve their goals as individuals. According to a May report for the White House Council of Economic Advisors, eliminating federal taxes on tips for eligible workers will increase take-home pay by roughly $1,600 annually. However, there's roughly 4 million tipped workers in the United States, and nearly a third don't earn enough to pay federal income tax, meaning they wouldn't actually benefit from this tax elimination. That seems to be a problem. Laura Dresser, a labor economist and professor at UW Madison, questions whether the tax cut addresses the most pressing challenges facing tipped workers. She says, quote, tax on tips is not the first problem I would solve for tipped workers in this economy, unquote. Instead, she argues that tipped workers face more fundamental issues like limited access to benefits such as health care and hour wage instability. And here's the kicker. This Trump tax on tip provision is extended only through the 2028 under the current budget bill, basically meaning that Congress could restrict or abolish it in the future. So this, again, unfortunately, is politically brilliant. They get to go around Republicans and campaign for the midterm election saying, hey, we got rid of the tax on tips. And if you put them back in office, guess what? It's gone. It was, as George Costanza once said on Seinfeld, didn't take. I mean, I laugh about it because it's so ridiculous. But it's tragically sad because most people aren't going to dig down into the facts. They're just going to let Trump and the Republican Congress get away with this sham. It's
why it's very Oliver Twist.
That's why, as Mr. Lewis says, you can't be so poor that you can't pay attention. Come on back. Hour two is next. We might talk a little bit more on this tax on tips. And what's worse, a za edition. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas officials are zeroing in on huge debris piles to try to locate victims from the deadly floods.
We've been finding remains since day one, and it continues now.
Fire official Razor Dobbs, the death toll is now at 120, but 160 people are still missing. President Trump is sounding optimistic about a ceasefire deal for Gaza.
There's a very good chance that we'll have a settlement, an agreement of some kind this week and maybe next week if not.
Russia fired more than 700 drones at Ukraine overnight, the most since the war began. Philadelphia has struck a deal with city workers to end a strike that has left trash piling up.
We'll all believe it when the trash leaves and everybody and we are able to take the trash to curbside again.
Trash collection is not set to resume until Monday. The deal includes a 3% annual raise for the next 3 years. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.